This is Radio Superior 1957. Reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s.
Come, let's stroll, stroll across the floor.
This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Now turn around, baby. Let's go once more.
Hey, you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens. Tim Michaels here, rocking your world. It's a hot, rotten Tuesday, September 10th, 1957. We have got a bang-up show for you. Dennis Anderson, the big DA, has the 6 o'clock news. What more could you ask? But wait, this deck is stacked with hot rodders, sure to bring the heat back on Machine Gun Kelly. What's buzzing, cousin?
We've got some chrome-plated bent eights ready to race out of here in no man's land. Except the place is a ghost town.
So the ever-present universal question, where is Machine Gun Kelly?
I can't say. The fuzz might find me, and I've had enough heat lately.
I mean, they've got your cell so nicely decorated.
The curtains are monogrammed, but none of the cats have shown up here. A real head-scratcher. And race time is in 20 minutes.
Maybe it's Highway 35 and County Road Z instead of 53 and B. I got to write this stuff down.
Hey, later, alligator. Ironically, Firestone is picking up the tab for Denny's News. Firestone is having its harvest sale with brake jobs for $3.50. Firestone at 14th and Ogden in Superior. It's your turn, Denny. Oh, those KKK cats are bad actors, man.
Dangerous dudes. Good evening, everyone. Governor Faubus is ordered to appear in federal court, and a Nashville elementary school is ripped by a blast. We begin our national report from Tennessee.
This is Duke Scorridge in Nashville. A massive dynamite blast wrecked a newly integrated elementary school in Nashville early today, and hours later, police arrested 5 men. 3 of the men were seized by Assistant Police Chief F.W. Muller when they refused to move from another grammar school, which, like the dynamited one, was among 6 where white and Negro first graders went to classes for the first time on Monday. The other 2 were taken into custody when officers found 50 feet of wire at their home. It's the type used with the explosives which wrecked Hattie Cotton Grammar School. Muller says that in the car of the first 3 men arrested, he found a dynamite detonating device, a heavily weighted billy club with KKK carved on the handle, 2 heavy wooden mallets, and the type of wire used to set off explosives. The car itself was plastered with KKK signs. The 3 men taken into custody were reported to have been seen Monday at all of the city grammar schools where there were violent segregation demonstrations. An electric clock at the school stopped at 12:34 a.m. when the concussion of the blockbuster-like blast blew it from a classroom wall. The dynamite blast came a few hours after police dispersed a violent crowd of about 500 segregationists who were smashing windshields and windows of Negroes' automobiles with bricks and bottles. Assistant School Superintendent W.H. Oliver gave this statement. This is no longer a matter of segregation or desegregation. This is a matter of sheer lawlessness. We're up against thugs. This is the result of a flame that has been fanned in Nashville by some local and outside agitators. I hope this will at last weaken the law-abiding citizens of this community to the problem we're up against. End quote. Although numerous dynamite explosions have accompanied desegregation disorders in other southern cities, this may be the first school targeted. In Nashville, this is Duke Scorridge, AP.
This is Calvin Thornton in Birmingham. Phillips High School, scene of anti-integration violence yesterday, was evacuated of its all-white student body of 2,000 today because of an anonymous bombing threat. Fire bells rang at the school and the students marched out promptly. Police, on guard against any new violence or against any new attempt to enroll Negroes, blocked the streets surrounding the school. Meanwhile, tensions eased somewhat as pro-segregationist leader F.L. Shuttlesworth, beaten yesterday as he sought to enroll 4 Negroes at Phillips, said he would make no such move today. Reverend Shuttlesworth says he is confined to his bed on doctor's orders because of the beating. The Phillips evacuation came after police broke up anti-integration demonstrations at Woodlawn High in Birmingham. About 75 to 100 Woodlawn students made up a shouting throng as they refused to attend classes. Some yelled, "No Negroes will get by us." Police threatened to turn a fire hose on them, and they marched away from the school. No Negroes had shown up at either Woodlawn or Phillips. Police Commissioner Robert Lindbergh says that if the Reverend Shuttlesworth makes another enrollment bid at the white schools, he will be stopped by the police. In Birmingham, this is Calvin Thornton, United Press.
This is Bill Cortez in Little Rock, Arkansas. A U.S. Marshal passed through the main gate of the governor's mansion today with an order directing Governor Orville Faubus to appear in federal district court September 20th. Troops guarding the mansion opened the gates for the officer. The petition cites the orders by Faubus to State Adjutant General Sherman Klinger, which placed the school off limits to Negroes. The governor said on NBC's Today Show this morning that he would be willing to meet with President Eisenhower to seek a solution of the stalemate. The stalemate was caused when he ringed Little Rock Central High School with the National Guard with orders to keep the peace and, incidentally, keep Negroes out of classes. He also said in answer to a question, quote, "I have a very strong feeling that Federal District Judge Ronald Davies was specifically selected by federal authorities and sent to Little Rock to stand by earlier integration orders," unquote. In Little Rock, this is Bill Cortez.
This is Ray Tucker in Washington. Some governors are against the action of Arkansas Governor Orville Faubus, while others raise their voices in his defense. One defender is Democratic Governor Marvin Griffin of Georgia, who says he thinks Faubus, in ordering the National Guard to keep Negroes out of a school where a federal court had ordered integration, is on sound ground. But Wisconsin Republican Governor Vernon Thompson says, quote, "From here, Faubus's actions appear to be a shocking disregard of lawful process. It's reminiscent of the stand of the South in the Civil War. It is difficult to understand," end quote. Another Republican governor, Theodore McKeldin of Maryland, said, quote, "No member of the Maryland National Guard will ever be asked to cross his rifle at a schoolyard gate to bar the entrance of a little girl." Among Democratic governors attacking Faubus' action were Governor Averill Harriman of New York and Governor Robert Miner of New Jersey. Supporting President Eisenhower's statement that he would stand by the Constitution in the Little Rock crisis, Harriman says, "I earnestly hope that Faubus now realizes that he has been badly advised and that he will reverse his stand and support the federal court order," end quote. Many Southern governors declined to take a public stand on the issue, among those Luther Hodges of North Carolina. South Carolina's Governor George Bell Timmerman reiterated the stand that he took in a telegram to Faubus on Saturday, in which he said, "I congratulate and commend you on the rightfulness of your position," end quote. In New York, this is Ray Tucker, AP.
Now we go to an interview by ABC reporter Mike Wallace with Governor Faubus at the governor's mansion.
Why did you expect the violence? What would be the motive of potential violence on the part of these whites? Now, naturally, the Negroes are not going to be violent. They simply want to go ahead and go to school with the whites, according to the order of the Supreme Court of the United States. The violence, therefore, would have to come from the whites. Why would they be violent about it if they do not feel the way that you suggest that they do not, or certainly that you do not feel?
I said that I did not feel that way.
Do you feel that?
There may be that some people feel that way. I cannot be responsible for the feelings of any people anywhere. We have to take things for what they are, not what we would like them to be.
This whole thing started, Governor Faubus. Newsmen have asked you time and again something to this effect. They've asked you, wasn't your action a put-up job? Isn't this a test case for the rest of the South to see how far the states can go in resisting the federal government?
No, that is not true.
It's even been suggested, sir.
Oh, yes, I know many things have been suggested.
It's even
many things have been misrepresented.
It's even been suggested, sir, that you are a puppet dangling from strings held by Governor Griffin of Georgia.
Well, if you knew me as the people know me who have been acquainted with me all my life, you would entertain no such thought, and neither would anyone else.
American Broadcasting Company reporter Mike Wallace with Governor Faubus. The government's plan to file for an injunction against Faubus later today were announced by White House Press Secretary James Hagerty after he had conferred with Attorney General Herbert Brownell. The president then rode a Navy cabin cruiser across Narragansett Bay for another round of golf at Newport Country Club. Former President Harry Truman says he approves of federal Judge Ronald Davies' action in refusing to delay school integration in Little Rock. Quoting him, "He followed the law and the Constitution. It's a matter of the Bill of Rights." Mississippi Democratic Senator James Eastland predicts a curb of U.S. Supreme Court power. The senator told a meeting of Rotarians last night that the court, quote, has gone wild and is remaking our government. I am confident Congress is ready to move to curb the power of federal judiciaries, end quote. Referring to the school integration issue at Little Rock, Eastland said, quoting again, there's no such thing as state sovereignty if a state is to be ruled by a district judge. In other news, half of American families had a total income of $4,783 or more during 1956, an increase of 8% over 1955. The median for city dwellers moved up from $4,800 to $5,200. For rural non-farmers, it jumped from $4,300 to $4,600. And for farmers, it moved from $2,100 to $2,300. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:10. Tim Michaels has this message from Firestone Stores.
Listen to this fantastic deal from Firestone. It's a harvest sale going on. What it is a car service special, and it's only $9.95. You save almost $10 on these three safety services. A brake job, regularly $3.50. Complete wheel alignment, regular cost $7.50. Wheel balancing, regular cost $8. You get all this, all three features, a regular $19 value for only $9.95. So don't miss this Firestone Harvest Sale going on right now at the Firestone Store, 14th and Ogden in Superior. Denny?
Milwaukee's mayor is predicting nuclear war by 1977. John Powell reports from New York.
A prediction that a great final nuclear conflict within the next 20 years would wipe out all of the nation's big cities was made here by Milwaukee Mayor Frank Seidler. He made the comment as he talked of urban problems during a panel discussion at the 53rd annual meeting of the American Political Science Association. Quoting the mayor, the first assumption that seems most probable is that the United States and Soviet Union will be unable to come to permanent peace. The results will be devastation by nuclear bombs of the principal cities of the United States and Russia, end of quote. Seidler says that if the present uneasy peace is maintained until 1977, the cities would grow prodigiously. So would crime, class struggle, slums, racial hostility, conflicts between city and state governments, and between state and federal governments. A depression on top of this might bring a form of fascism, he warned. In New York, this is John Powell speaking.
Rough weather, much of it along the storm reaches of Lake Superior, has slowed the progress of four young men in two canoes traveling 5,500 miles to Old Town, Maine. The Coast Guard says the quartet last night reached Grand Marais, Michigan, some 100 highway miles west of Sault Ste. Marie. They had expected to reach the Sioux by August the 15th. The four men left Denver earlier this summer in two 16-foot canvas over wood canoes. They had hoped to reach Maine by October the 18th, but their stop at Grand Marais marked the halfway point in their journey. That, Tim, is the 6 o'clock news. Good night, everybody, and be kind.
Man, oh, man, oh, man, that nuclear war, Mayor, creeps me out. So does that governor in Little Rock and those KKK knotheads in Nashville. Man, I am steamed.
That's good. Injustice should steam you.
Denny Anderson with the steamiest news around. The word from the Weather Bureau bird for this Tuesday, September 10th, 1957. Cool tonight with the mercury dipping to 42, but add 30 to that for a sweet high tomorrow of 72. All right, you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens, here's the coolest of the cool, funky, I guess. It's going to chill you. A new one by the Jive Bombers. Try to sing along. It's Bad Boy on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
I'm just a bad boy.
crazy bad.
My Cat Baby from Detroit on Savoy Records, Bat Boy by the Jive Bombers on Kickin' KUWS. Sounds like Satchmo, but it isn't. Snap your cap at Branzer's Men's Clothing Store. Get a nice warm cashmere blend jacket that's a fall favorite with a quilt lining for extra comfort. The jackets are just $17.95. Pick up some Ivy Court slacks, too, for just $7.95 at Branzer's, 1316 Tower Avenue in Superior. Hey, this'll kill you. The VFW Junior Drum and Bugle Corps is looking for dolls to go with the dudes for Skins players. Apparently not enough cats are trying out, so the VFW's Dick Gerzik says they need some dolls.
I'll take the liberty to interpret once again. The VFW is now looking for girls to join their drum and bugle corps.
And who doesn't need dolls? They're going to need some new uniforms, man. So Danny Gerzik says he'll have a bandstand fundraiser Friday at the VFW with local radio announcer Lucky Lou Lotto. How does he rate? He's only in high school, man. I must have missed that call. Ring, ring goes the bell. Here's Chuck Berry in School Days on the Lucky Timmy Dance Party.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. The guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring goes the bell. The cook in the lunchroom ready to sell. You're lucky if you can find a seat. You're fortunate if you have time to eat. Back in the classroom, open your book. Keep it, the teacher don't know how mean she looks. Rolls around, you finally lay your burden down. Close up your books, get out of your seat. Down the halls and into the street. Up to the corner and round the bend. Right to the juke joint you go in. Drop the coin right into the slot. You gotta hear something that's really hot. With the one you love, you're making romance. All day long you've been wanting to dance. Feeling the music from head to toe. Round and round and round you go. You gotta hear something that's really hot. With the one you love, you're making romance. All day long you've been wanting to dance. Feeling the music from head to toe. Round and round and round you go. Hail, hail, rock and roll. Deliver me from the days of old. The drums loud and full. Rock and roll. Feeling his bare body and soul.
Hail, hail, rock and roll, a 1957 chartbuster. That's Chuck Berry's School Days on Kickin' KUWS.
After decades of a reverend from the Bull family, Concordia Lutheran Church in Superior has brought in a new clergyman. Good evening, Reverend Joseph Simonson.
No relation to that handsome newsman you've got there.
Which one? They're both cutie pies.
Thanks, Tim. I'm told you're the reverend who preaches politics to poultry.
Not that you can convert chickens into Democrats, mind you, but he who preaches politics to poultry was the phrase used to describe me in high school and is proof to be my three interests in life.
Sounds like the cloth man has led a pretty sheltered life.
Well, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in St. Paul from 1940 to 1951, I was also chaplain for the Minnesota State Senate.
Oh, that's nice.
But your running commentary is not.
But life takes strange twists and turns. When Secretary of State John Foster Dulles called me...
This cat is either the bomb or off his rocker.
Yes, when Secretary of State Dulles called you after the election of President Eisenhower...
He told me I was to have the Minnesota appointment to an ambassadorship. I said to Mr. Dulles, I would consider going to four countries, the Union of South Africa, Norway, Denmark, or Ethiopia.
Tell me you got Ethiopia. I think that's right next to Timbuktu.
While serving in Ethiopia, I surrendered my clergyman certificate in the belief that church and state must be separate. It is my conviction that Christians, as individuals, have a responsibility to be active in politics. We must have a concern for the common life of all people, and that politics can't be left untouched by Christian influence. I accepted the ambassadorship with a Christian sense of vocation because I felt I had a Christian contribution to make. The most outstanding thing about Ethiopia is the great progress that is evident. The country was isolated until 1935, when it was attacked and occupied by fascist Italy. In 1941, British soldiers pushed out the Italians with U.S. support in North Africa, and Emperor Selassie was restored.
I imagine you had some exciting times.
Oh, the most dramatic event while I was in Ethiopia from 1953 to this year was Emperor Haile Selassie's trip to the U.S. in 1954. Emperor Selassie is an absolute monarch and has reigned for 28 years. Called the Lion of the Tribes of Judah, he is a direct descendant of King Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. I resigned my ambassador post at the end of President Eisenhower's first term. His administration is the first to change ambassadors en masse at the end of a four-year term.
So when do the cluckers come in on all of this?
Meaning my poultry interest. My wife and I just purchased a dairy farm near Rochester, Minnesota. We even raised chickens in the Ethiopian capital of Addis Ababa.
So from world politics to Superior, how did that happen?
I felt it offered defiance. Greatest opportunity and the greatest challenge for future progress with a great possibility of growth. Church attendance in America is at an all-time high, and heck fire, I want to be part of that. We have come here with the intention of remaining permanently.
Wow, I didn't know you were allowed to say heck fire.
And Concordia is a great place with a great congregation. The 70-year-old church started in Superior in 1887 as the Norwegian-Danish Lutheran Church. It hosted Crown Prince Olaf and Princess Martha in 1939. It's also where Richard and Marjorie Bong were married in 1945, and Major Bong's funeral was held there just 6 months later.
Welcome to Superior, Reverend Joseph Simonson.
I'm off to connect with the young people. Poultry and politicians aren't all I preach to.
Fine, Machine Gun Kelly, and you'll make that teen scene, baby. Now it's time for a KUWS Radio Twin Spin. It's Susie time. First, Dale Hawkins with a killer 78 from Checker Records. This is Susie Q on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
The way you walk, I like the way you
This is a KUWS Twin Spin, and these are the Everly Brothers and Wake Up Little Susie on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Wake up, little Susie, wake up. Wake up.
A KUWS Twin Spin, Ooh La La, Bandit Boston, the Everly Brothers, Daddy Don and Uncle Phil with Wake Up Little Susie on KUWS. Ever fall asleep at a drive-in movie with a kitten gun?
Would have had to have been one dud of a flick.
Probably starred Van Johnson.
That cat is made of wood, man. One bad actor.
So, it sounds like you found the drag strip.
I can't tell you the locale, but we've got some unreal classy chassis here. They can wail. 16-year-old Wendy Hansen is here. You're not driving one of these gas buggies, are you?
Do I look out to lunch? This is treacherous. It's suicide, and you should do something to stop it.
But what can I do without getting pounded again?
Call the police on that two-way radio of yours.
But that'll just get me pounded and arrested.
Most gals in their right mind try to stop these old jalopies.
She's talking about me. I'm not old.
The special carburetor, superchargers, hepped-up manifolds. For what? Boy. They are so dumb.
Machine Gun Kelly!
In poison.
I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
My name is Susie Smith, and I want to say it's natural for a boy to want to tinker on an old jalopy and hop them up. They're so competitive, so drag racing can't be helped, and it must be supervised. None of this city street drag racing.
It's just suicide.
My name is George Anuska. I live out in Dairyland, the sticks, you know. But, I have a thing or two to say about this.
A greaser from the sticks? I thought only flat tops lived in the sticks.
Hey. Just because my daddy grows corn doesn't mean I'm square.
Absoluto mando. You got the jets, man.
I got some nuggets. Dragon cranked into high gear in the late 30s when youthful car fanciers distressed their elders by testing their jacked up machines in an impromptu contest to see who could accelerate or drag.
Lay a patch, Papa.
From a standing stop at a traffic light to the fastest clip in the next few blocks, hey, and I like you, Suze.
I wouldn't fall asleep at a drive-in with you in the backseat.
Yeah. Ooh. The hot rodders, no such shenanigans. Still a curve, but, they've declined since the advent of clubs and drag strips. The great majority of teens, of course, have nothing against the idea of souping up old cars. It's dangerous, yes. But only a small portion of cats own hot rods, and only a small portion of them have crack-ups.
Newspapers play up teen crashes. Publicity favors adults.
The youngsters are acutely self-conscious about adult opinion of our driving skills. We're almost unanimous that grown-ups hold us in low esteem. Just because our cars sound like bombs doesn't mean they can't drive.
Yet in a survey by the Gilbert Youth Research Company, one-third of the teens queried think of their group as poor drivers, and another 43% say they are mediocre at best.
Hey. Who's the wet rag on the radio?
It's a newsman.
nerdish.
He can't help it. He's a newsman.
Oh, but he's a cutie pie. We'll get back to Machine Gun Kelly as the hotties get their machines on the get ready, set, and go. But here's another new nugget for you. Buddy Holly and the Crickets and Ray Vaughan on the Tim Michaels Drag Party.
Or something like that.
Oh, a little thing to you say.
Decca Records with Buddy Holly and the Crickets. That's Ray Vaughan. And on and on and on Kickin' KUWS. Earth to gun, earth to gun.
And these cats are in orbit, man. There's four lined up side by side, another four behind them, and another four behind them. They'll go in heats until they have the top two of the fastest machines to make the scene. And Reverend Simonson is here to drop the flag.
Think fast.
Well,
oh, amen. Glory, George.
They're all cutting out. That's not how it's supposed to go. And they're not even going in the same direction. The good Rev is revving his car out of here.
What's going on?
I don't get it. And they're stuffing rocks and stuff picking up on poor old Gun. I don't get paid enough for this. Something's screwy.
You'd better believe something's awry, my friend.
It's the heat. Hey, you sound like Officer Mackey. You look like Officer Mackey, but you've got different threads on.
He's my brother in the city police force. I'm a sheriff's deputy. I patrol the county, and I know all about you.
But I wasn't hot riding or anything.
But my friend, you were aiding and abetting these youngsters.
Honest Abe, I didn't bet on any of these guys, Deputy Mackey.
And I got one bullet in this pocket says you're going to come along with me like a good radio lad.
Timmy, I gotta go.
You want bail, baby?
Not this time. I think I could use a square meal and a good snooze on the county's dime.
Oh, bring your toothbrush, man.
No need. My stuff's already there. My own closet. You dig? Say, Officer Mackey, what's on the menu?
That's Deputy Mackey. And we've got some nice hot stew and dumplings with milk and jello for dessert.
Meow!
If you hurry, you can catch the Mickey Mouse Club, and then This Is Your Life on Jailtone TV.
I love Annette Funicello and Jimmy Dodd and Jello.
Time to cut out, cats and kittens. We'll be back same time, same dog pound, the good Lord willing, and the poultry preachers and hot rodders don't testify against us. For Denny Anderson and the gang, this is Tim Michaels rocking your world.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1957, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Your players are Duke Skorich, Don Hansen, Danielle Kading, John Munson, Dave Strandberg, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1957 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow. Thanks for listening.
Oh,